Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I'm in Londis the other day, minding my own business. And what's really frustrating is now you have to like get a roll from behind the counter to get me. So you have to queue to get like just a plain roll.
What?
Yeah. Like you can't just get them. Gets unbearably irritating. Like there must be a reason why. So
I suppose with people fondling the rolls and stuff, yeah. You know the way they're sometimes in shops when you go in and they're sitting there in their little beds.
Yeah.
Like people will be squeezing.
I know, they'd be fingering it all the time. It's fucking vile.
Fingering them and then like waking them up while they're in their little beds. Just like, yeah. And then they're just like, eh.
Awful. So anyway, I'm standing there waiting the guy in front of me. And like he even looked sheepish making this order. Do you know? Like he even looked a bit embarrassed. Right? So he asked for egg salad.
Okay.
Cucumber. Ugh. And chicken.
Okay.
With ketchup.
Jesus Christ.
Egg salad, right? Wet. Cucumber, the wettest veg. The wettest veg. Chicken, bit of protein. I suppose the eggs came for that too. And ketchup. I was like, you back into the bin.
Have you ever tried it, Carla?
And I never will.
I was just going to say, you just don't know.
And I never will.
He reminds me of the bloke that we talked about on Patreon years ago, sitting on the wall.
Sitting on the wall with his tuna and egg mayo sauce.
Hello, and you're very welcome along to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. My name is Jen.
And I'm Carla.
We have a Patreon, just as we mentioned there. Just get it in there.
What?
Plop. You're just throwing a little in there. There's a big back catalogue. Just the link is in the description. We have to mention it, you know.
And we will mention it again by the time this place is ended. We will mention this again. Lots of you have popped over lately. Love that for you. Lots more content, longer content, more in-depth discussion. It's where we have the crack, shall we say. Well, we have the crack here, but we have more of the crack over there. So if you're looking for longer episodes, more content, pop over to Patreon, where me and Jen are just doing the do, huh?
And we generally record it after the main episode, so we're a little bit loopy at that stage. So, you know.
Yeah, we're a bit giddy.
You catch us a bit unhinged,
yeah? Oh. Jen, anything else you want to tell us about?
It's been an Maybe it has been an eventful week. The fact that I can't fucking speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being a Mav too is settling in now.
Oh, yeah. So how's that going? Because you were all bubbly.
I was.
Everybody was like, wow, she's real. Like, you know, how's Jen? I was like, oh, she's like on a cloud. She's genuinely, I've never seen her this chill.
I will say I have been like that. And second time round, just of anybody, because I've seen a few people talk about, oh, fuck, I'm pregnant on my second. I'm worried about it. I don't know how I'm going to like cope. How am I going to love this kid the same amount as I love my first kid? That kind of thing. Trust me. Second kid is a fucking breeze and everything just falls into place. There's no need to worry at all. But now Fia is getting a little bit like her little wind down below is kind of hurting her and stuff like that, which is what Bobby had from day one, which made him a hard baby, like I'll say, because like no baby, you know the way that they're always like, is she good? Is he good? Like, there is no good or bad babies, but, you know, like, if they have little problems, they're obviously harder. But that's starting with her now this week, and I'm just like, everything's fine. We're fine. It's fine. But then I did see a video, and it was like, things to achieve on your maternity leave. And then it was just like, look after your baby. Just don't be fucking worrying about anything else. And I was like, do you know what? True.
Very true.
Very true.
I would like to talk to you about something else, actually. What? And this something has gripped me, and I've been thinking about it all week, right? And it's called types of funny.
I'm sucked in already.
Okay. So the types of funny, and you have to categorize yourself, and you have to pick one. Okay. And there's where did that yawn come from? There's 12.
Okay, lovely. Okay, I've raised them.
No, you have to pick what one you are.
Okay.
So there's funny, funny smart, funny weird, funny sad, funny mean, funny to funny people, funny to unfunny people,
funny
on paper, funny on screen, funny when asked, funny after the fact, and funny in the face of tremendous hurt.
Yeah. It's hard because I'm a bit of a few of them, but I would say funny on screen probably if I was to really push for an answer. Like,
yeah, I think you are funny on screen. Actually, if I was to push for any of these, I'd say performance funny correct? For you. Yeah, I would say that for you.
Which isn't funny because I have to kind of think it up and practice it all out for. No. I don't know. It's funny because you have to like, you will obviously pick an answer for yourself.
Yeah.
And then other people might have a different answer for you.
Well, I would say to you that you're funny. I'd say funny on screen or funny on paper. Because you're right. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like funny on paper is a bit offensive.
No, I prefer funny on paper to fucking...
Because funny, like, funny, I think funny,
funny
on paper.
Asked.
I think funny on paper is like just a bit of a backhand, like, as in there's always a but. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's funny on paper, but do you know what I mean? Like, it should work.
Yeah,
but it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know. Because I'm like, what would be the best? I suppose funny would be the best one. But I'm trying to think of somebody who's like. Fun, like, I'm trying to think of, like, I like, so funny, like, weird, that would be Tony Cantwell to me. Do you know what I mean? That
absolutely.
Would be hand on heart, like, Tony Cantwell, funny weird. Okay, like,
or did you see, have you watched Last One Laughing?
Yeah,
so him and Tylak are funny weird.
Yeah,
Paul Tylak. Yeah, yeah, the two of them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Whether it's like funny to sad, funny people, funny sad would be. Kind of Emma Doran in a way.
Funny,
it's like
sad.
Self-deprecating.
She's so dry. Yeah.
So dry, do you get me? And it's always like about a situation. Do you know that kind of way?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I'm like, funny smart would be, oh, I had a great example. Fuck, what was it?
I'm trying to recognize.
Probably Darrow Breen.
Oh, disagree, but anyway.
Really?
Yeah. There's things that he does. And do you know what? I've said it before. I won't say it again because once people hear it, they can't unhear it. And I'm not about that. He's just not my cup of tea. He's not for me.
Okay.
Okay. And that's okay.
I'm trying to think of it. Like, there'd be like, there's a couple of people that would like come to my mind that would be like funny, smart. You get me?
Funny, smart. Yeah.
I'll
have to circle back.
I think are funny. Like, I would say Graham Norton is funny.
Yes.
Like, every conversation you'd have with him, you'd be kind of like, you're just a funny guy. Do you know? You're just kind of like a funny dude. I'm trying to keep it Irish here. Do you know? I'm trying
to. Shane Dan Bourne. I think Shane Dan Bourne is funny to funny people.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. I was about to say funny to funny people. And I think Cillian Sunderman might be the same.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
funny
I love
to funny
Cillian.
People. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's other people might be like, what the fuck is that? Like,
Yeah, absolutely.
And then...
And Simon Hennessy is another funny people. Like, people just love him.
Simon Hennessy, he is fucking... Sorry.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. But I think Simon's almost funny on screen as well.
As well, yeah.
No, I was about to say, like, fantastic. His stuff is so fucking hilarious. Funny to unfunny people, I would say, is Aisling Bea.
Yes.
100%.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. She, and I feel like, because funny to unfunny people obviously just means, it sounds like you're saying the bar is low, but she has to be so international.
That's what I mean. It's because I see her as more of like an actress.
American.
Yeah, I think it's like
she has
more...
to cater to so many people around the world, and not everybody has like the Irish humour, the Scottish humour, that kind of thing. Like,
I would say that. And happy for any debates if you guys want to pop on in there.
Yeah. Or funny... give us names of who you think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Funny when asked. That's a hard one.
That is a hard one. Yes. I feel like... Jason Bourne probably can be that on the ball kind of thing.
Actually, do you know what? I think Emma is more funny after the fact.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like she's like when she's recalling, you know what I mean? Like when she's recalling her stuff. So I feel like it's funny, sad, because it's like not everything she talks about is sad. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't, not sad, you know what I mean?
I'm but she's not that kind of slapstick, in your face performance funny, you know? So like, she's more of a storyteller. She's more of a, like a delivery funny, do you know what I mean?
Like, maybe that's like funny after the fact, do you get me? Because it's more of it's more of a, not performance piece.
Mm.
It's a weird one. Funny, let me see, what else? Funny on paper, funny on screen, funny when asked, funny after the fact, and funny in the face of tremendous hurt.
As in, like, dark humour. I was going to say, you're definitely in there somewhere, because, like, you're very self-deprecating as well.
I know, I think that's me.
Yeah, I'm a bit 50-50. I'll self-deprecate, and then I'll be like, oh, wait, no, I need to be kind to myself. I keep remembering to stop doing that. But I am a fucking agent. But I'm not too bad.
No, but I'm brilliant. I'm great. I'm great.
I have to give myself credit, you know?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week's episode is about celebs who have let us down. And this came off of the back of Marcus Rashford's antics.
So I hadn't a clue what was going on. And you said this to me. And I was like, excuse you.
I didn't really know either. Now, Adam was watching the match the other day. And I don't really listen to that much football goings on now. Obviously, there's big news this week. Klopp is leaving. And there was but the United match was on, and somebody had said there was a lovely young lad who started, can't fucking remember his name now, but they were talking about all of the people who scored goals, and Marcus Rashford had scored the first goal. And I think the commentator was like, do you think he had a point to prove after the week that he's had? And I was like, Adam, what happened to Marcus Rashford? Because I love him. Like, he does the meals for, like, he's a good advocate for things. He just seems like, all the stories that have come out about him, he just seems like a top notch. Like, no, there's no, like, toxic masculinity with him. He's a top lad.
Yeah.
Am I?
Top dude.
Yeah. Top dude, yeah. So, right. But he went on the piss in Belfast. This was the top line that I got from Adam, and I didn't look into it further.
Love it.
We don't research on this podcast. We just give our opinions on what we're told. So he went on the piss in Belfast. I think he didn't show up for training, or he just, like, there was, you know, wasn't himself. And the manager gave him, he, like, knocked 2 weeks' wages off him. So it cost him 700 grand. But I was like,
it's just 400 grand. Holy shit.
No, 700. You get paid 350 grand a week.
Fuck me. Like, I'm in the wrong gig.
I know. And come here. I'm like, here, why aren't more footballers? You're earning that money. Be more like Marcus Rashford. Like, do stuff. You can afford to be doing stuff. Do you know?
Yeah, but my thing is, you said this to me, and I said it to Tom, because I was like, what's going on? He was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, and I understand they get paid a whack load of money to essentially just follow orders. I do get that. But I'm also like, he's like 27. He's allowed a mistake. And it's more infuriating to me because of all the racists that have been loving trying to take him down a peg or two for what he's doing. Within his community and with school meals and all that other kind of like with all of his advocacy that he's doing, it like that's the thing that annoys me, because I'm like, there's a load of fucking racist wankers that are just like thriving with this. But then at the same time, I'm like, you're 27. Like, who didn't go on the piss and miss a shift? Who didn't in their life?
Of course. Well, you see, I think it's because he's paid so much. There's so much expected of him to perform, and like, he's a good player and like obviously very famous, you know, for like what he does. So he needs to kind of
kicking the ball in the net.
But this is why every time Adam is so like into the football and he's so passionate about it, and I get it, it's like it's a community, it's a whole thing, like a lot could be said for a lot of things, but I'm just like, he's literally, and it's the fact that how much shit goes on in a football match, like the diving, the fucking antics, they're all so precious. And if they don't like the manager, that's it. The club is fucked. They don't give a shit about the fans. They and they get paid so fucking much. I'm like, what? And it's so corrupt as well. Like, FIFA is just, you know, it's just, it fucking baffles me, the amount of stuff that like the football, like they, that they, the football players get away with and stuff like that. Because I'm just kind of going, in what other fucking company? Do you know what I mean?
I know. It's pathetic.
Crazy. Like, it's absolutely crazy. But he had disappointed me because I was like, this isn't like Marcus Rashford. And Adam was like, yeah, I know. And I says, I hope he's not after getting in with a bad crowd. I says, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed.
So,
but yeah, I don't know.
Hence this week's topic was born.
Yeah, because she was like, Carla, I think we need to discuss celebrities that have disappointed us, because I'm after hearing about Marcus and very disappointed. What?
I just, you know what? And then there was another story about him before where there was another footballer. I think they were in some club again. He loves a club.
I love that about him though. Do you not love that about him? Like, I'm obsessed with that about him. Like, I am just...
Not that he's still going to the Vortex, like...
Yeah, like, I'm like, yeah, do it. Like, why not? You're a footballer. They take themselves so fucking seriously. And I'm like, I get it, because your career is so short, but you make fucking millions while you're at it. Like, go and buy a stupid car and fucking, like, do you know what I mean? Go and be a bit of a tick.
Yeah, yeah, that's
you might
true.
As well. You're only young once. And it's like, I do feel, like, obviously I don't feel sorry for them, because, like, it's an incredible privilege. But I'm like, they work really hard. They reach a really high height. And also, everybody tells them when they're too old. Like, it's, like, the most ageist sport. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, they're constantly being told, like, oh, you have only a couple more years left. And, like, if you get an injury or any of this other kind of stuff, or you could have been X, you could have been Y, like... this could have happened, you could have, like, it's a very hard, like, mentally, it's a very difficult job to be in, I would say, because you're just constantly told that you're not good enough. And then when you get to the high heights, you've such expectations on you. And then when you start to slip, by God, don't you fucking know it. And then
I think it's probably about fucking time, because, like, look at models. Female models.
Oh, I know. And that's what I mean. There's a couple of things. No, there's definitely a couple of things that I'm like, oh God, like, it's not.
It's mental.
And it's like the patriarchy built it, therefore it's like that's where you sit, like God bless you. Do you know that kind of way? It's not really, you know, I'm like the problem is cyclical there. But like when they hit 38, like around like 36 to 38 is kind of when the average footballer like will retire. Yeah. I think Beckham was 39 possibly. And that was just because he floated over to America. And that's why I do understand why they go to America. If I was Messi, I'd be like, up Miami. I'm not fucking arsed. He's 36.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I get it totally. But then you have to be a Messi to have all the opportunity afterwards. You have to be you know what I mean? You have to be a certain kind to be able to like do all the interviews and do all the deadly things. And it's like, it is like, I don't feel sorry for them, but I do. So I'm like, I don't feel sorry because it's a job and they get incredibly compensated and it's up to them to be clever with that compensation. It's up to them to invest wisely. It's up to them to have a plan B. But then at the same time, I'm like, people are at you constantly. You're never not being told what you are. Like, you can't make a decision for yourself. Essentially, the public has made that decision for you. Yeah. And no matter what, they're going to be at you being like, no, you're too old. No, you're not fast enough anymore. No, you're slowing down. Like, imagine playing a match and being like, I did a really good match there. And then being like, slowing down. Say, he's not what he was a year or two ago. And he never will be again. Like, your head would be fucked.
There is actually quite a lot of judgment. I never really looked at it that much before, just because I always thought,
fuck them. They're being paid millions. Yeah.
Well, no, not even that. But like, I'm kind of just not into football. And I always found the, because like, we, like, as say in the female sphere, like, there's so many different things that we like follow and watch just for the drama of it, because it's chewing gum for the brain. Like, because like, football doesn't come across as dramatic to me as the Kardashians say.
Yeah.
I kind of look at football and I'm like, that's just so fucking ridiculous. Why are they being so passionate about it? But I mean, it's their drama. It's their version.
It's their version, I suppose.
But like, I never thought of the judgments that they get and stuff like that. It would be. And then like, men aren't allowed. Well, they are obviously, but it's as if it's expected that they don't like express how they're feeling or that they're hurt by these
things. They have to get
like,
over
it. Yeah.
And that's why it's like, with women, and this is not a comparison in any way, shape or form, but we're told since we're kids that we're going to age out and be ugly once we hit a certain age. So it's almost like you get used to the fact, because the patriarchy has made it that way. Commercialism has made it that way. Whether it's what men have been told that they could rule the world, the whole fucking, like their whole lives, they've been told that they're the best and they're deadly and that they can do whatever the fuck they want. Do you get me? So it must be very difficult, because it's like, women learn to cope, I think, slightly better than men do when it comes to these kind of situations. But when, like, and it must be quite difficult, like, thinking about it for any athlete. I think it's really difficult, because no matter what athlete you are, you have a very short career.
Yeah.
You know, you generally do, unless you're a golfer, you do have a much smaller kind of career. But even as a golfer, you do, you know, your career is not as long as maybe everybody else's. Now, you get compensated incredibly well for it. Mm-hmm. Hence why, in a way, it's like, well, if you know, you can live off that way, you can live off 1 year's wage for the rest of your life if you're clever. But I do think that there is, and also the kind of people that would be like the kind of hooligans, if you will, football hooligans that are at you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even just the people, it's the type of people as well.
Yeah, it's intimidating. Like,
these are the ones coming up with chants. These are the posh takes it up the arse people. These are, you know, this is the...
Oh God, yeah. Yeah.
It's the kind of crew. The kind of, you know, stereotypical football hooligan. And it is stereotypical, but at the same time, yous are the ones coming up with racist chants. Yous are the ones who are not letting anybody away with anything. So it's like, imagine getting guff from those kind of people too. And it's relentless, and they'll say whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Because it's funny. Oh, you know?
Just banter.
That is, yuck, it's just something else to think about. It's just something else to think about.
That's very true.
I didn't think we'd go that deep. But I'm not disappointed. I'm just like, but I do understand. I'm like, you get paid a shitload of money to literally be at training. Like, you the reason why you weren't at training, you went out on the piss and you know, so you're fined and whatever else like that, like close to a million, that would fucking teach me my lesson. But yeah, I don't know.
I know.
Two wages, wow.
I don't think he would have given that much of a shit about the wages. Like, he's still getting 700 grand that month. Do you know?
No.
I think it's just that they made such a big deal about what it was at the heart of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my goodness, now, Marcus. Like, just in kind of jest, like, oh God, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. Do you know?
I hope he had a belter night out. Like,
ah, yeah. I hope he was hanging the next day.
It was Belfast, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I hope he was listening to fucking club anthems.
Yeah, definitely.
And doing shots.
Have you another alarm going off there?
There's one outside, yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's a car alarm. Nothing I can do about that one, unfortunately, boys and girls. Like, oh my God, my house alarm. Sorry, me and Jen were sitting here for 40 minutes waiting for a house alarm that I didn't realise I had.
It was yours.
Yeah, didn't realise it was mine. It's going 90.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay, you put a box out and asked which celebrities have disappointed you.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So there's one that just came. There's one I'd like to start off with because I think it's something that, like, I asked Jen not to look at it because somebody said it in the box as well. So I kind of want to, I want to say what the person said, and then I want to follow it up with this little tidbit. But then there is an explanation for the tidbit too. So I do want to say that, Demi Lovato, the flip flopping she goes on with, right? Okay, yeah. So that was what someone said.
She changed her pronouns again.
It's she her
in the last 2 months. Yeah,
changed she her. Again. She her. I think she's she her still.
I think so. Yeah. Let me just look her up on Instagram because she might have her pronouns in her bio.
Anyway, she performed at a cardiovascular disease event.
They, them, she, her. Sorry, she's okay. She's
okay.
On with the
so we're okay. Okay, we're okay.
Yeah.
So she performed at a cardiovascular disease event, and a lot of people criticized her because she performed her best-selling hit, Heart Attack.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but there's just too many things that's happened with Demi Lovato that just makes me roll my fucking eyes. Like, what's your favourite dish? I'd say a mug.
Okay, so I want to explain this, right? I'm letting that sit. Because she also has another song, Give Your Heart a Break.
Oh my
God. So, and there's another one, Hearts Out, I think it's called. So, look, there was a catalogue to work with there. Now, but what I will say, in her defense, and she has had to come out and defend this, she had a heart attack.
Oh.
Do you remember when she went into, like, she had, I think she might have had, like, a few in a row. Do you remember when she overdosed that time? She is so lucky to be alive. Like, so unbelievably lucky to be alive. And she was asked by the organization to perform it as it's one of her biggest hits. She gave a really emotional speech about healing and how she didn't want to perform the song for years after her near-death experience.
Oh, okay, all right.
So... Sorry, she had a stroke apparently and not a heart attack, but like I know that she definitely had. No, I know that she definitely, at one point I think she flatlined though, so there was something going on there. Anyway, so yeah, that is kind of the crack there. And there is, look, I think the thing is with Demi Lovato, we did speak about her at length before, and I think the thing is with Demi Lovato is she was, number one, she was a child star. She had severe drug addiction in her teens, like by the time she was 17, she was flat out on class A drugs. You know, she has had a lot of sobriety issues, and that is really tough to deal with also the fact that she took an overdose and she literally was at the point of dying. Like, there was... Like, if you read up any of the reports about it, she is so fucking lucky to be alive. Like, no idea how she survived it kind of thing, because the body was like, God bless. And I think the heroin she took had fentanyl in it, and I think that might have been the issue. But anyway, and that's a killer, as we know, killed Mac Miller. It's killed many, many, many people. But I think as well, I think with Demi Lovato, the reason why she annoys everybody, sorry, is because she the way she kind of talks about her and her craft. Like, she's incredibly talented. She's an amazing voice, but she has like no style about her. And every time she like releases music, it's like when she did the rock music, she was like, this is who I truly am. But she said that two albums ago. And then it's like every time she releases an album, there's a fucking documentary that goes along with it as well. And you're just kind of like, it grates on people after a while. You're kind of going, okay, so like, and I think it's sad because she never really had that like Miley Cyrus moment, like of Bangers, which was like an incredible album. And she never, like Selena Gomez, fuck knows how that girl had a singing career, but she never had that kind of moment, like doing the VMAs and everybody watching to sing, see if she's going to cry about the song about Justin Bieber. You know what I mean? Like, she never had those kind of high heights as her peers did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, or even Ariana Grande, again, somebody off like the Disney Channel who's had a million kind of big moments. And like, let's not lie, she's incredibly popular. Like, not so much in Europe, but huge in America.
Yeah.
But I think that's why she annoys people, because
she's always just there in the background talking about how deep she is.
It's, yeah. And you're like, okay, like, I always say it, if you're talking so much about it, it probably means that you lack it. It's like lads that talk about sex constantly, I'm like, I know you are not shagging.
Yeah.
It's like people that talk about money all the time, I'm like, you must be very insecure about that. Yeah. And it's like with her, I'm like, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting the greatness. Like,
there is like, it's the element of like, she went through so much and nobody takes that away from her, but it's just a constant, she's constantly talking about this. Whereas like, I feel like it, stars like Christina, she has a past like where her parents didn't get along. I think her dad was abusive. Like, she talked about that on kind of Stripped and did her whole like True Hollywood Story and stuff like that. But then she seemed to move on, which is what a lot of them do. That's like part of their history, and then they move forward, and then they always just seem to kind of like climb the ladder, get bigger and bigger, have their moments, like you say. And then that's kind of, but we've all known about like what happened in their past, and nobody forgets that or takes it away from them. Whereas Demi is just like, you know that I overdosed, you know that I nearly died. It's like she tries to constantly keep everybody reminded. Then there was the fucking insult to the LGBTQ plus community, constantly changing her pronouns. Like, she just lost all credibility there.
I get what you're saying there. I don't agree with her talking about her health struggles, because I think we didn't know, like, if you look at her pattern of stuff, nobody knew how bad it was. So I think it was like she wasn't telling everyone everything. And then on the next documentary, she was like, I was off my fucking head on that one. And then the next documentary, she'd be like, no, I was actually really like, I was, you know, there was even that documentary where she was like, well, I'm California sober. And I was like, oh no, like, California sober, in case you don't know what it means where you don't take any other drugs, but you don't drink alcohol and you don't take any other drugs, but you smoke weed. And they call it California sober. So right. I'm like, yeah. So she, like, in one of them, she was like, I'm California sober. And I was like, oh Jesus. Like, I was like, no. And then after that documentary is when she had her big relapse.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God. So it's like, in a way, I don't really, because I think she's still trying to sort out her addiction issues. So I don't mind her talking so much about that and about like her health and what's happened, because I think that's still a process. I think it's more the like the silly pop kind of culture things that she's like, that irritates people. As I said, it's like, no, this is my real music. No, this is my real album. No, this is who I am. No, this is who I am. And yeah, it's like, yeah, the playing into pockets. And I think that LGBTQIA plus community, they like the pronouns that she is kind of, now she has, I think she's always said that she was bi. I'm pretty sure anyway that she did announce that she was part of the queer community a couple of times. And I think that's can be frustrating because it gives headlines. Again, it's like not to conflate her and the Marcus Rashford thing, but when there is so much aggression against a community and then you're kind of like changing your pronouns, it makes it seem trivial, and that can really,
yeah,
like, but dismantle that's the thing, like, what they're trying to do, you know?
Talking about but like saying that you're part of the queer community, talking about being bi, like, that's not the same as changing your gender constantly. Like, it's not the same.
No, not that. I think I think the pronouns came with her announcement. I think that was the thing. I think she said, I'm queer and I go by they, them. I think that was the full announcement at that point in time. And then like a year or a couple of months, I don't really know the timeline. Anyway, it wasn't too long. It was within a year or 18 months, she had said, I'm actually okay with it. Like she never discussed her sexuality. She's obviously discussed her sexuality a good few times, but she's kind of then said, oh no, I'm actually okay. And it, the people on like the Facebook fucking warriors are
this is fucking stupid. People in schools, fucking my daughter now. Yeah. I identify as a teeper.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not it. Fuckers are out there.
The cheeky fuckers are out there
identifying as a teapot. You know that kind of way?
Yeah.
But that
a few, is... I've heard of a few kids identifying as a dog in school and they have to be... Or a cat. And they have to be... There's a litter trays and all involved.
Okay, yikes. I'd like to dive into that more maybe on the Patreon.
I can't even remember where I heard that. There definitely is. It was like, this was real life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not critiquing, do you know what I mean? I'm not critiquing her truth, you know? Mm. She has her truth and she's been through a lot. And again, me and Jen have done a full episode about this. Child stars should be illegal. They should be illegal. Like, it is not okay. And they never come out the better for it. Ever.
No, they don't. I know you're saying it's the pop culture things that annoy people most. With me, Demi Lovato, I just don't, because like you say, there's a documentary every time she goes through something. I'm just like, go away and sort yourself out. Stop releasing documentaries. Stop it.
No, I get that.
There's no need for a documentary every time you take on a new drug or you give up a new drug. Like, just, there's no need for it. It's like she's constantly looking for sympathy or something like that. And I'm like, she's too changeable. I'm just not, don't dislike her, don't like her. Just, I'm not getting involved. I ain't getting involved. I'm doing a Gemma Collins on it.
Yeah.
Just like, live your life. You do that. I'm just like, I can't with the, like, I wouldn't have her as a friend, do you know? What a drip.
You'd be like, oh, Demi's at it again. Hi, how are you? How are you? Oh my God.
I know. Jesus, I do have sympathy for the big issues that she's had, but I'm just like, they're so, I don't know. I just think she needs to go off and get some help and come back. Yeah, and like, you know, when she's over it, you know what I mean? She still seems to be going through it, and that's not her fault. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be a heartless cunt here. But yeah. I'm just like, there's just so much going on. You really need help. And I don't think you need to be releasing a document. And I don't think the enablers need to be making these documentaries about her either.
And but then I'm like, there's a demand for them, clearly. Do you know? I'm like, there's demand for her music. There's clearly a demand for fucking Selena Gomez's music. And I'll never understand that one either, you know?
But that's why I'm like, why are you? It's the money. Like, people are making money off of her. And she clearly needs fucking help.
Yeah, it's sad.
And it's And then that kind of gets misconstrued, because obviously I'm blaming Demi for that, but it obviously is the people in the background. You know, I'm just like, where is our fucking manager? Do you know, like, who's letting her do this? Where is our fucking family?
And that's the thing as well, is like, everybody was getting away from school. I think as well with Demi, like, everybody who kind of came, she stayed under their label.
Yeah, like, she's, that explains,
I can't remember what it's like, what's it called? I cannot remember. I should know this because I've listened to countless podcasts where they discuss it. Bollocks. Anyway, I can't remember the exact name of the label, but she stayed, it's like the Disney label, and she has stayed under it. Mm. And then she took on Scooter Braun when everybody was leaving Scooter Braun because, like, apparently not a great person. She went with him, which I think that confused people too. I don't know if there's like a, yeah, I think it's tough as well. I think she struggles with identity, and I think that can be hard for people in a public figure who is, again, the pressure is that you're supposed to know who you are at all times. But then at the same time, she grew up a child star, and I do have sympathy for anybody who grows up a child star, because that should be illegal.
Yeah.
God bless.
And she doesn't exactly portray the manufactured pop star that she is.
Yeah.
She keeps trying to get away from it, but it's like, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a part of the identity crisis, where it's like, you've struggled with hard drugs, like hard drugs, and you're so young. Like, I think she's just gone 30 maybe, or 31.
Jesus. That is very
And that's a mad fucking life. But again, to be flat out on the bag at 16, 17, experimenting in drugs at 14, like, that is fucking bonkers, mate. Like, that is, that's miracle. But that's mad shite. Like, so, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, I think she's learned a lot in the public eye. But I think as well, because with her, again, the other Disney stars, most of them have this like sexual awakening, and that's like the worst thing that they've done. Like, the worst thing that Miley Cyrus did was like twerk on fucking Robin Thicke, you know, that kind of way. Like, Demi's is a very different and a much darker
story, very true,
you know. So it's kind of, I don't know, I understand completely why she annoys people.
Yeah, I know. It is kind of hard to pinpoint as well. Yeah. I just hope she does get the help that she needs, because there's clearly a lot going on there. Will we move on from Demi?
There's clearly a lot going on there anyway. Gotta go.
And do you know what it is? It's because I think we spoke about her before.
We did.
And there was a few opinions that came in after the fact, and it was just what I mean. Like, there's so many fucking different things going on with her. Like, nobody can say for, you know, like, no, she doesn't even know who she is. Do you know? So, like, there's no point.
I think that's pretty obvious. I don't think anybody could be like, she's such a sense of identity. I think she couldn't. I don't think she'd even be like, oh, I have a very strong sense of identity. I don't think anybody could. Sorry, her behavior has never displayed that.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. And that's all we have to go off, unfortunately. So, exactly.
Yeah. What we see is.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said Ariana.
Yeah, I just, like, guys, I can't begin to express, and I literally cannot begin to express. If myself and Tom, actually, 10 years, we have been talking yesterday, we went for a meal, and I can't begin to express, if Tom and me decided to have a child, bring a child into this earth after 10 years together, and he dumped me for his coworker, and then she released a song saying, "Why do you care about whose dick I ride?" That I would be in jail. I would be in jail. And that's where I would be. I'd be like, okay, bitch, let's take it to the street. Let's see how we get on then.
Mm-hmm.
Because I very much care about whose dick you ride, because it was actually, as I checked, in mine. So unfortunate there. A little bit shook to the core. So
she's a cheeky fucker.
Beyond fucking mental behavior there. Like, beyond mad shite. And again, I think this is where it's like, people make excuses because she's talented. And I think this is where it's like fan culture and stan. Like, there's fan
she
culture.
Has stans,
and I
would have
been
a
fan. She has stans. That's what I mean. I'm a fan, but I can separate like that fucking mental behavior.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. And that's another thing. If she was holding my fucking child, if I thought that she was like a family friend, I would be on site. Like,
I know. It is crazy.
Bonkers. And I know a lot of you who are stans, not fans, who are stans, don't want to believe this, but please just have a look into her history of home wrecking. God bless. Yeah. That's all I'll say. Peace, love, and unity. Have a look yourself.
We are not being misogynistic by saying this. Like, no, please. Have check a look yourself.
Have a look at her pattern. There is one. Yeah. God bless.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody here said it's a three-parter in the box. Met Edge backstage at Fela 91. I was 12. My uncle was in a band and was talking to him. I went to say hi to my uncle. I had no idea who the Edge was, to be honest. And loads of guys appeared from nowhere and blocked me and gave me such a fright. So that the Edge... Oh, sorry. So not Edge... Oh, so she was disappointed by the Edge because it was such a bad experience. Like, she was just trying to go over to her uncle.
Yeah, but I think that one, it's like...
Bless her, she had no idea who the Edge was. I couldn't play
it's like
the
she's
Edge
a small girl. No, honestly, if he was beside me in Spar, you'd have to have glasses and a guitar for me to understand who that man was, do you know? Like, you'd have to be standing there in full stage get-up for me to even pick. Otherwise, I'd be like...
I'd be the same. All right, how are you? I honestly, and this is what, like, because we're going to be recording our Patreon episode on Fergie, and I was saying
Ferg,
me love it long time. I don't, because I had no idea she was with Josh Duhamel for as long as she was.
And Jen I was like,
I just don't. I was just like, I just don't pay attention to band members and their, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of...
Like, say the Black Eyed Peas. Will.i.am, I'd recognise him. Fergie, I'd recognise him. The fella with the long hair, don't know his name, but I'd recognise him. Who was the last fella?
Apple D.
Can you picture him?
Oh, fuck. Apple D. Sorry, I'd love to be in the Black Eyed Peas because, like, what do they do? I fucking love it. I'd love it. I'd be like, a good time. I'm having a good time. All I do. And like, smash it.
Yeah.
Jump around the stage would be excellent. Apple D app. And.
Ah, the long hair. What was his name again?
What's the other guy? Fuck. It's Will.i.am, Fergie, Apple D app. Black Eyed Peas. Sorry. Apologies about this now. What the fuck is his name? And I know it.
I'm
brutal. Taboo.
Ah, taboo. Yeah. But you see, I'm brutal when it comes to like band members. Like, imagine trying to fucking pick Blazing Squad out of the line.
No. God, no. I don't think like, even your man went on Love Island. What's his name again? Marcel.
All right. Imagine you're in a situation. Here's a lineup. It's 20 people. Which ones were in Blazing Squad? I have no idea.
I think Jimmy Carr did that all of them. On the show, didn't he? I think he did that.
Well,
you know that, was it, you know the way he does, like, was it 8 out of 10 cats or there was another
yes,
one? I can't remember.
And they have to take the lineup.
Yeah. And he was like, what band members here were actually in Blazing Squad? I'm pretty sure that was a thing that
was
he
was. Was it all of them?
Yeah. No, it wasn't all of them. It was like six of them or four of them or it was that like, you have to pick, there's at least four of them here that were in Blazing Squad. So like, who was in Blazing Squad? You put the crossroads.
Oh, stop. Fucking brilliant. But I'd be the same. Wouldn't have a clue about who the Edge was.
Imagine aliens coming to space and having to explain Blazing Squad. Just coming from space and having to explain Blazing Squad. Like, what would you say?
How many band members was there?
11.
Really? 11?
11.
It's 12 young, or 11 young fellas.
Yeah.
And they all sing, like, there's no harmonies. They all just sing at the same time. There's a song called Crossroads.
There's no harmonies.
Like, they all sing at the same time. Like, they're not even a proper choir. Like, just smaller choirs. There really is. And then, if was Crossroads even a fucking original? I don't think it was. I think it was
I don't think it was.
No.
I don't think it was.
They had another song as well, and it was a banger.
Flip reverse it.
Girl,
like the way you work it.
That's
girlfriend.
That is an absolute tune. Fucking brilliant it is. Right, next person set.
I wish I was in Blazing Squad.
I know, yeah. Sorry, this had gone all the way down to the end. Somebody else said Blazing Squad intermission. Oprah bought Weight Watchers, closed it in Ireland, and then took Ozempic.
Okay, so so did you not hear about this? So
no.
So Oprah owns Weight Watchers and has made a lot of money off it.
Weight Watchers.
Yeah. She owns Weight
Watchers. When? Did she create it or
she bought it.
Take it over.
I can't remember, but she bought it years ago. The issue isn't her taking the Ozempic. The issue is when Ozempic was first started becoming popular with housewives and celebrities, she came out and said it was cheating. So that's my issue. My issue isn't her taking Ozempic. Yeah. My issue isn't her. No, it's also the fact that you gave it a really negative narrative.
I'm like,
you're not helping. Do you know what I mean? It's like, do you ever, have you ever talked to a man about Botox?
Stop.
You know, that kind of,
yes.
Face full of Botox. I'm like, no, face full of filler. It's different.
Yes,
you fucking stupid.
Fucking hell. No, but there's even, sometimes I define myself even explain, you know, if somebody turns around to me and says, oh, Jesus, you look pretty well. Like, you don't look tired at all. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the face, the filler and the Botox or whatever. And then they're just like, yeah, what's the difference?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so many people, I could never get a full face of Botox.
You don't.
I don't know anyone who has a full face of Botox.
You don't.
I was like, you just hear it and you're like, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
like,
no, but look, I'll say I would have probably been in the same category. I wouldn't have understood it until I... obviously looked into it. Like, it's the same with anything. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's just, it still has, like that, you say, it's such a negative
connotation. Yeah. And I think this is the issue with, I listened to an amazing Maintenance Phase did a really good podcast on it. And also Dr. Mick Crotty was on that Fabulous Pharmacist podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He was on talking about it. Two completely different sources, an American source and then an Irish source. Mm. And it completely changed my mind. Changed my mind and made me think of it differently. But then again, I went and listened to that. Do you get me? I don't think everybody will. But I think the problem is when someone like Oprah clearly didn't understand it and goes out and publicly says it's cheating, you're really damaging the narrative because you're Oprah.
Yeah.
You're really damaging the narrative about weight loss and about how people see fat people.
Yeah.
Really damaging that. And then when you go come out and be like, I'm actually now using Ozempic. And again, she did say people can change their minds. They can absolutely change their minds.
Mm.
My issue is the information was right there.
Yeah.
And when you are someone like Oprah, who has a talk show, who's like, who has researchers behind her, do you know, it's not as if it's like, if us. Oprah wants to know anything, yeah, us, do you know, but it's like, it's not as if like, if you want to, and everybody's allowed to change their mind on fucking anything that they want to, okay? That's
or get educated in it and come back and say, actually.
And she did say that. She goes, look, I got educated. I understood it a lot more. But I'm like, so we didn't think before, like, again, researcher, you've all the resource in the land to not have to come out and say, you weren't pulling on the fucking spot, do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like, that's what I struggle with.
Yeah.
You know, that is what I struggle with. And this is coming from somebody who has a podcast and has often said and changed their opinion on things.
Yeah. Yeah, very true.
But at the same time, I do believe that, like, if the resource is there and the resource has been there, it is tough. But I think the bigger problem is people are like, and now she's on Ozempic, so therefore she's a bad person. I'm like, you know nothing about the drug. You know, I'm like, maybe put a little bit more research into weight loss medication and then form your opinion.
You see, I think,
you know,
with the whole Ozempic thing, I think it got misconstrued because Ozempic was originally for diabetics.
Yeah.
And then it became popular, as you say, with housewives, and then it became in short supply. That, from somebody who's worked in pharmacy for years, I understood that because I was just like, you're doing this for, well, health reasons, like, obviously, but a lot were doing it for aesthetics. The Kardashians, for example.
Yeah.
Like, it just seemed like it was coming from a selfish place when diabetics couldn't get their fucking hands on Ozempic for a good while, you know. And then that got, then the misinformation, obviously, about it just being like a fucking, a quick fix for, you know, weight loss and stuff like that. It all just got muddled up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then this narrative just keeps, like, this, it's like Chinese whispers, do you know what I mean? It just gets, anybody who's on Ozempic is a fucking selfish tick and they don't even want to walk out or go to the gym or, you know, this kind of. Yeah. Kind of thing.
But,
like,
but so. I think the issue is that, like, in a fatphobic society, nobody's ever trying to understand fat people. Nobody wants to
understand
fat people.
Not.
And that is a superiority complex from thin people, mainly, because they've been taught that if you're thin, you're inherently good, and if you're fat, you're inherently bad. And that, like, people like easy moral scales. They like to be like, if you have taken drugs, you are bad. If you you know, if you go on walks every day, you are good. If you go to the gym, you are good. You know, they want to forget all about, like, eating disorders and over-exercising and everything that attains to that kind of side of things. And I think that's where it's more frustrating when you see somebody like Oprah say, fed the narrative. I think it's really good that she's come out now and been honest about it. And I think that she might be able to change a lot of people's, like, now that, like, if she continues to lobby and talk about it. But unfortunately, and again, because it was just like a question box, a little blip in there, I don't know.
It's not going to make the headlines the way the forward statement did.
No, but I also don't know what that listener meant. Like, what was, like, was it the, was her being on Ozempic frustrating? Is that what frustrated you? Or was it the negative connotation that she kind of gave to the drug and then started taking it?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the problem, because it's like, if people are like, I know she's on Ozempic, sure.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't understand what that drug is, though. You don't understand Saxenda. You don't understand Ozempic. You don't understand Wegovy. You don't understand semiglutide. You don't understand what the compound is. You don't understand what it does.
Yeah, very
and
true.
It's like with Botox again. People are like, she's a face full of Botox. I'm like, fucking filler. Wrong. Yeah. Incorrect. Filler. Very different. Completely different, actually. And it's like, so dangerous. I'm like, Botox can only be given by a doctor. Please, please. Yeah. Just like, if you're going to openly speak about it.
Very true. Very true. Next, I was going to say this, finding out Elizabeth Moss is a Scientologist.
This shook me. I had no idea.
Yeah,
that really upsets me.
I was nearly towards the end of The Handmaid's Tale when I found this out. Because I was like, I was actually finished it because there's one more season left and the writer's strike and stuff like that delayed it. But season 6, I think, is going to be the last one. And she did... I was like obsessed with it, so I was like looking for all of the season finale kind of their opinions on it and stuff like that. And then when I looked up Elizabeth Moss, like I was just like trying to look for interviews and stuff like that, it came up that she was a Scientologist. I was like, no. But I will add to it, she's like for all for Israel as well.
Oh, she's a Zionist.
She's on that list. You know the list of all the celebrities? Yeah. She's on that list. Which I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, Elizabeth. No, well, she's American. That's all you have to fucking
be American and Jewish.
No, I know that, but she was on the list of all the like people who are speaking out for Israel and like Gaza is terrible, you know, that kind of thing.
No, I know, but I'm like, I wonder if it's a religious thing for her, if it's more of a perception thing for her. Do you get me? I'm like, is she a Zionist? Like, which means that she
it actually doesn't
is Jewish, is she just somebody who has.
I didn't
wealthy.
Look into it. I looked into the. I was just looking at the list, and her name was on it, and that was enough for me. I didn't even look into what her take on it was. She was just. It was these are the celebrities you should boycott because of the. And I was like, oh, Elizabeth, you are bad enough with the fucking Scientology, pal.
Sorry, I'm about to say she's not Jewish because she's fucking a Scientologist. What am I like?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I answered my own fucking question. Okay, so she's. Oh, so it's even worse.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. No, that's. Great.
She's American and she's a Scientologist. That's enough for me. I'm just
realized there. Me there. Like, I wonder if she's. No, she's a Scientologist, Carla. You literally. The whole thing. Yeah. Gobshite. Anyway.
A podiatrist.
Here I am. No, just brain not connecting dots sometimes. Very, very strange behavior, you know?
It's all the alarms. It's all the
alarms. It's wrong me. Finally. This is the water. We've just realized it's fucked in Ireland. So.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody else said, Ronan Keaton, because he denied my friend an autograph at school. Pick up in school with me, circa the cheating scandal, never forgave him. There you go. Never meet your heroes, people. Guys. Life is just a roller coaster sometimes.
Good one,
Jen. I'm an asshole. Yeah.
Shall we?
We shall wrap it up.
Leave it here.
We'll leave it there. We have a few more. We might discuss more on Patreon. I have an unpopular opinion before we go. So I said this to you a few weeks ago and I still believe it. So I'm going to say it on a platform.
Okay.
Professional hair care products are not for everyone.
Yeah.
My hair loves a bit of silicone. Yeah. It loves a bit of supermarket oil shampoo.
Yeah.
My hair has cut. Now I know I'm just over a pregnancy, but my hair just comes on leaps and bounds when I'm not using the expensive shit.
Yeah, it's mad. I've seen people say this before. Now again, like all anybody who works in the hair industry can do is just go off science. Do you know
what they're educated in, obviously, but yeah. I do, like, I just feel like, and look, I go to, I always promote my hairdresser, she's fucking fantastic, and the products that I get, they do leave my hair feeling nice, but I just think long term, my hair's, it's not for me. And I've seen plenty of videos now from, like, trichologists, from, like, hair experts and stuff like that online, who are like, actually, it's kind of a bit of a misconception that you need to use. It's like some people just are better off with store-bought products. It's like it depends on your hair porosity. It depends on, like, everybody has such different hair.
If it's not broke, don't fix it, kind of thing. But I do think the issue is when people are like spending so much money on K18 But they're not looking at, like, your hair's dead when it comes out of your scalp. Do you get me? Like, the minute that it's out of your scalp, it's dead. Like, all this is dead. It's, your hair's dead. Do you know what I mean? It's dead. Wait, yeah. It is.
There's
dead.
Only so much you can do for it, like.
Yeah, so I think it can be frustrating when people are like, K18 ruined my hair, or this, that, and the other. I'm like, well, there's technology, you know? There's literal technology behind that and science behind that. It might not have suited your hair for multiple reasons, and it's probably to do with the other shit that you're using. Do you know?
Yeah.
And it's exactly. Like, you know, there's loads of different, like, there's so much ingredients. It'd be very hard to pinpoint what one didn't suit your hair.
Yeah, it's the fact that, and this obviously capitalism has kind of led the way in, like, the fact that you can buy Olaplex in Brown Thomas now, you can buy K18 in Brown Thomas now, like, and people aren't using it properly.
Yeah.
So then exactly. They're blaming it. Like, Colour Wow, I find is fucking fantastic, but I do feel like in the wrong hands, it can get a bad name. Like,
exactly. Anything so can. Funny. Yeah, yeah, I know, and it's hilarious because it was the same with, like, it's the same with makeup products, and it used to frustrate me so much. I'd be like, that's a professional product. You're using it completely wrong.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, that's user error because it shouldn't be commercial then. You know, I'm like, if it's a pro product, pro should say pro. But then people have targets to hit and they've this, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like...
And then the fact that you can literally go into the likes of Terry Sales, lie, say that you're a hairdresser and get a trade card and buy a bucket of bleach. Like, it's just... Because it's in a fucking shopping centre, do you know?
Yeah.
No, it is.
But I don't mind that because they are strict. Like, I mean, I had to go, my hairdresser was running late and she was like, and I was in the centre and she was like, is there any shot you can go in? And it wasn't where, and like, they were like, and I was like, explained, and they were like, absolutely not, goodbye. And I was like, fair. I was like, look, thought I'd take the chance and I just had to call her and be like, sorry about that. And she was like, oh, look, it's no worry. It was just worth a try. So look, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't mind, like, that's what I mean. Like, I don't really mind kind of stuff like that. Like, I don't mind people in trade getting perks or, you know, any of those kind of things. But I do think it's gas how there is professional pro product out there, like in pharmacy, like Olaplex is in pharmacies now, like as in chemists, as in it's, and that's only so they can hit their target. That's not because, you know, for any other reason than they need
care
to
about
targets.
Your hair. Yeah.
Yeah. They need to, like, hit targets and they need to have mass distribution to deal with that. So it's like, it's an interesting one, you know?
Yeah. Well, my point being that it's like L'Oreal Elvive is not the worst.
No. And I bought some the other day. I bought a few. Like,
I was going to say, Carla, I don't know. The Bond Repair, I hate it. And Dream Lens, I hate it.
Mad.
Yeah.
They were the two most recommended. But again, this is what I mean. The Bond Repair,
they're too heavy for my hair. Yeah.
Yeah. The Bond Repair, I used it a few times. It's okay. I don't think the conditioner is rich enough for my hair.
Jesus, that's gas because it was too heavy for my hair. Like, there was smoke coming off me here and I rinsed that bitch. Like, rinsed it, waterboarded myself to get it out because it was the second time I used it and I knew it was too heavy. I was like, okay. So I really rinsed it and it was blow drying my hair. The fucking smoke was still coming off it. So I was like, nope. Have to fuck it out. Can't.
You need a detox shampoo.
I have like metal detox. I have clarifying shampoos. Like, my hair is just, this is why I'm just going back to me good old reliables. Going to Dunn's, getting it in my shop and going to get my hair back to the way it was like 6 years ago. And then we'll see. We'll go from there.
Okay. Lovely.
Lovely.
Thanks for that.
We did kind of have, well, we didn't have an idea. My sister kind of said this to us and we were like, this is not a bad idea. We're going to, if you have an unpopular opinion, send her in. We might start having other people's unpopular opinions, like as the unpopular opinion, and then we'll discuss. Also, send us your stompers and we'll set up a new playlist. Like, what stomper have you discovered? We'll put it on the playlist. We'll talk about it on the pod. So send them in to at, what's our fucking handle on?
_podcast, you mad thing.
One, you should be following us anyway, but if you have an unpopular opinion, you can send it from a burner account if you're too afraid. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just do you and we'll discuss it on the pod. So that's the new chat. We're going to try that for a while. You need to change these things up at the start of the new year. Do you know what I mean? Right, we're going to go off and record our Patreon. All those links are in the bio or the show notes, whatever you want to call them, and we hope you enjoyed. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.